Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How's it going, everybody? This is Tyler Dawn here with Bob McGinn for another Packers podcast. Bob, how are we doing today?
Excellent, Tyler. We're at your pad this Monday morning.
Yeah, back up here. Thanks for making the trip. And we were down at your house this weekend for a little Thanksgiving brunch. Thank you very much, Bob. That was fantastic time. Great food, great folks, great people.
Just glad having you. Thanks for accepting, Tyler.
Hey, and a good Ohio State win over Michigan, Bob. And you have to explain to the people how you take in an Ohio State Michigan game and why it was kind of a cat and mouse game at your house there Saturday, wasn't it?
So Pat was doing the brunch for the grandkids and kids and everybody. We had about 12 people, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was to start at 10:30.
Yeah, two daughters, a son, right. And two grandkids running around. Yep.
And so Michigan game was on at 11:30, right?
Right.
That's really the only game personally that I care about every calendar year. Just when you're born and raised in Michigan and you go to that school, that's just it. And to this day, I'm sure everybody in Ohio and everybody in Michigan just carries this forward. It's kind of a grudge.
So we're sitting there before we ate brunch, and me and Charlie, your son, were about the same age. Like, why isn't there football on in the background? Mm-hmm. TV was blank. And we realized quickly it was for a reason.
I was taping to watch later.
You're taping, and you didn't want the game on at all.
Period. No, I had the depth charts printed out in the rosters for both clubs.
Okay,
and I would be watching this after everybody went home. Well, probably Charlie was going to stay, so the two of us would go to the basement and watch it.
What when you watch a game in that role? What does it entail? You got your rosters, you got your depth charts,
you got your remote, so
and
you
can
slow mo all the time.
You
play
do
stuff back.
You can fast forward through the commercials.
But he's got a cell phone, of course, and he knew the result of the game.
Well, let's backtrack for a little bit. So we flipped the game on, right?
Yeah.
And Michigan's ahead.
We did, the first quarter.
Right.
I broke down, and I let you guys have
it. You did. You broke down. And
I was a little jacked to see the blue up 7-0 as a 16-point dog.
You looked a little distracted. I mean, you had the game on, yet there's all this other stuff going on. You're not in the zone there.
Well, I was expecting to get blown out.
Okay.
You know? And I wasn't really excited to be blown out. And then they took the lead, and then it was 14-14 when we shut it off.
We shut it off.
To eat, and then we shut it down.
Hung out.
Right.
And at one point, me and Charlie, we snuck away, and we watched the finish of that game, which it's kind of funny. I mean, Auburn, Alabama just kind of overshadowed everything Saturday, but that game was one of the better finishes you'll see as well. So we see what happens. We know that you're probably going to be irate later in the night. We tell you it was a yawner. And then later in that night, you watch the game for yourself. And what the hell happened? So you liked the call, you said.
So Charlie and I sat down together. And he knows now many, many years that, you know, when I tape these events, I don't really want to know anything. And he was cool about it. He pretended he didn't know anything. And so
is that right? He didn't tell you that he watched it earlier with me up there?
No, he did not.
Okay.
So we get down to that 2-point, and as soon as they decided to go for two, we paused it, and we said, all right, let's make our discussion of the decision. I liked it. They got a backup field goal kicker, Michigan. They had a good kicker. He was injured. This wild guy had missed from 31 earlier. I knew they couldn't win a field goal battle. They were going to have problems stopping the quarterback and the running back Hyde. Yes, they were at home, but I still liked it. Go for it right there, Ty.
They were good enough to get to that point, though. You're good enough to get to that point of overtime. Why not just keep riding it out and playing football?
You're right. The Bucs couldn't stop them.
They couldn't.
Amazing enough. Boy, you know what? I forgot this. When they put the ball at the 3, I said, hey, it should be at the 2. The NFL
right.
Is 2. That's a huge
difference. That's a long 3 yards.
Yeah.
That's a long 3 yards. But Obviously, they went for the pass.
So that play unfolded, and we went slow-mo. We freeze-framed every step of that play. So the ball's in the air.
While it was live? The first time you saw it?
First time we saw it, we went through slow-mo.
Oh, my gosh.
And the ball's in the air. We're saying, all right, Charlie, what do you think? And we're looking, you know, every slide, you know, too far inside. Defeat. 9 out of 10 to the Bucks.
Was there
I'm still a broken man.
Was there something thrown? Were there
no
curse words there?
No.
You could accept it because you liked the call.
True. Yeah, okay. And I liked the effort. I mean, I knew Brady Hoke had saved his job by playing so well that day. There was no question about it. So there was no – he wasn't trying to save his job. I knew he was, you know, coming back next year the way he played. 9 out of 10. You know, when I was in school, Michigan's won more games than anybody in college football history. They have. And they're still ahead in the series, I believe. I'm not sure.
I live in the now, Bob. Michigan football is troubled. They're troubled.
I go back 100 years. Those are good years too, Ty. They all count, partner.
Says somebody from Syracuse. All right, well, 2 days before that wild Saturday, Bob, there was some pretty awful football played at Ford Field by the Green Bay Packers.
You think? That's why we did Fogarty today. Anger.
Yes.
The anger emanating from the Packer fans out here. They're on rants, just like Mr. Fogarty was against Vietnam, huh?
We do those post-game chats online, and, I mean, you see it in stories on Twitter. I mean, you can get a pretty decent gauge of the fans and how they feel about a certain game, a certain loss. I've never seen anything like Thursday night where just the disbelief, the anger with this team. The effort, I think it is rooted kind of in the effort where the team knows they don't have Aaron Rodgers. They don't have their quarterback. They don't have their best player, but... You talked about it on a couple podcasts later, how when you lose your quarterback, almost a defeatist mentality can take over. And I was a little skeptical. I mean, these are professionals. This is their jobs. They have every reason to get up in the morning, to give 100%, to go all out. Jobs are on the line all the time in this league. And not to say that guys aren't, but there was kind of a defeatist feel to that game where the Packers got down and then they just played bad in every aspect of the game and we just ran out the door.
They kept taking the ball away early. I mean, they were in good shape early on. I was thinking, wow, you know, they could win this game. They're taking the ball away. And then it just kind of all spiraled out of control, and the offense was horrible. The defense was horrible. Special teams. So, another 5-6-1, huh?
So what's more concerning? What surprised you more? The fact that the offense... it was an adventure to get the ball over midfield, or that the defense, particularly the run defense, is just getting gashed at will?
Why don't you answer that one first, Ty? Do you think the horrendous D that gave up 30 first downs, or that all?
I think it's the defense because, I don't know, as well as Matt Flynn played at the end of that Vikings game, I mean, there are still limitations there with the arm strength, with the ability to drive the ball downfield. There's a reason things didn't work out in Seattle, in Oakland, in Buffalo. You know, I don't know. I mean, they were going to have to win this game with a running game with the defense, yet for whatever reason, this run defense that was absolutely shutting down people. I mean, Frank Gore, Ray Rice, Reggie Bush in the first game, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Alfred Morris had a good game. But really, week in and week out, they were just shutting teams' running games down. And Dom Capers and these players, they always talk about that. It starts with the run defense, get teams in third and longs, pressure the quarterback. It starts with stopping the run, and they've had the worst run defense in the NFL these past 2, 3, 4 weeks. Adrian Peterson is one thing. Toby Gerhart, you know, Bell and Bush, that's a whole other thing. And I think that's what's most surprising is just the ability of offense is running at will right at the Packers. And the question that a lot of people have, Bob, is why? I mean, is it the scheme? Is it the X's and O's? Is it the talent level? I don't think it's injuries. The Packers were pretty healthy on defense, or at least they had guys that were active in there that they want. Do you put this on the X's and O's, or do you just think that this defense, maybe they're just average?
You know, on the X's and O's, in stopping the run, Tyler, you know, it's just run fits. And when you sit out there in August at all those early first hour and a half of football practice, they're going through those run fits, the defense in its entirety, mm-hmm. You know, ad nauseum, and they go through this stuff against formations, against motion, on and on, over and over and over again.
And not just training camp, Bob. I mean, this is the first year that under Mike McCarthy, that coaches, remember talking to Mike Turgovic, talking to some veterans in there, this is the first year that they had the half line drill through the regular season with the pads on. They continued working on their run fits. I mean, they're not tackling guys to the ground, but they're still working on it into the season. And that was a big reason, they said, for the success early in the year, running the ball and stopping the run. But for whatever reason, it's not there right now.
So as McCarthy said after the game, he said, you got to get off a damn block, mm-hmm. play your leverage in your gap, and tackle. And none of that's happening. So, you know, defense is a collective endeavor, but you got to have all these individuals working towards it. And when you look at a whole bunch of individuals, it's not really happening. I mean, how do you see the D-line playing right now?
I think that's the question, is that was such a strength of the team, is the three wide bodies up front, and Johnny Jolly, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett. Then they had the ability to bring in Daniels, Jones, and some pass rushing situations. But maybe, you know, Ryan Pickett says he feels good. Obviously, he's been a little banged up this year. He says he's fine, but it's an older player with a lot of snaps. You have to wonder if he's just wearing down a little bit right now. If Johnny Jolly, you know, he was out of the league for 3 years. He's a little banged up. If he's wearing down a little bit, same thing with B.J. Raji. I don't know if he has an excuse. I mean, you watched him closer than I have on the film, but who knows? Maybe it's just three bigger guys kind of getting worn down at this point in the season.
Raji did get single blocked a lot by the left guard, Rob Sims, in this game. And when he gets single blocked, that means that other lineman on the combo, usually the center, Raiola, is going to get off on a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And neither A.J. Hawk, he's not very good getting off blocks. Brad Jones is a leggy guy. He's 6'3". You know, he played outside, and he can't really get off a block either. And so when you don't have Pickett, Jolly, and Raji occupying people or getting off themselves, then you got a problem inside at linebacker. They're not very good inside. Matthews is not quite the player he was, although I thought maybe he was their best player on the field. Perry's just working back. He sets a good edge. Mike Neal's just been so up and down, and the secondary right now is not tackling well. Morgan Burnett missed four. So you start adding all this stuff up. That's where you get to like 200 yards a game here recently.
Let's go to the missed tackles. I mean, this is a problem that's come up again. It was a problem throughout 2011 that they seemed to fix in 2012. I'm not sure at this point of the year, any point during the season, how a team in the NFL can fix bad tackling. I mean, where they're at practice, they say they work on these form tackling drills, but they're going in, you know, 3-4 miles an hour, wrapping guys up and just falling into what, high jump pads mm-hmm. that they use in track.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with offensive players, with defensive players. I don't know what that drill accomplishes. Okay, you know where to put your head. You know how to wrap up. You get low. You're tackling a guy that knows he's being tackled and he's basically in a slight jog. Not only has Reggie Bush going 80 miles an hour, juking and jiving, lowering his shoulder. Not to say that these guys should be doing all-out tackling drills, but what is the answer? I mean, how do you fix tackling during the season if you're an NFL team?
You know, their practices are so short. So they allocate to that tackling 2 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe?
Maybe.
A minute,
I mean,
45.
It starts and it stops.
It is tight. McCarthy is so concerned now about, you know, the injury issue and not wearing his team out, leaving it on the practice field.
You obviously had that great column during training camp that this team should do more tackling in camp. Injuries,
yeah.
I'm sure, are a factor into the decision not to do as much as other teams, but, I mean, maybe that's one answer.
I think some of the, you know, so it's getting a whole bunch of people to the ball. It's gang tackling, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you have to make individual, you got to break down and make a play when the guy's next to you, but then it's getting a bunch of other guys there. I thought this was a physical team, an increasingly physical team that first month and a half, and I just can't say I really see it now the last 4 or 5 games.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a good point when you go back to that Baltimore game. I mean, that was a defense that was getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were harassing Joe Flacco. They were shutting down the run. Well, let's talk about something a little bigger picture then, Bob. Who's the leader on this team? Who's somebody in that locker room that's going to speak up, that's going to get in people's face, that's going to say, we got to turn this around, that's going to change the tide? Do they have that guy in the locker room? I don't know. I mean, what was the when you talk to guys in the locker room, did you have the same reaction that I did where it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, these guys are mad, they're angry, but is there that vitriol inside, as Mike Daniels called it early in the year, that this is just unacceptable? Do they have that leader in the team that can turn this around? I don't know.
I mean, this is a team that just won a Super Bowl, you know, 4 years ago. These people have been at the ultimate, a whole bunch of guys, at least a dozen. Yeah, they got guys who can do that. You got Pickett, You got Jolly. I mean, Jolly's still a menacing presence in that locker room. And if you're a young player, you don't really want to have Johnny Jolly come over by you and say, you know, what are you doing? I mean, this guy is – he's a real pro. Pickett, I mean, everybody respects him. I can see people respecting Raji. He's on that field constantly. You did the story on Tremont Williams trying to step into this role. I think guys respect him. A.J. Hawk is certainly a great effort player. I mean, he gives his all. I really feel he does. He may not be in the right fits, and he might be missing and getting bounced. But Jordy Nelson and Jones, I like both those two players as leaders. Offensive line, yeah, sitting in lane.
Well, yeah, Jordy Nelson, that's kind of interesting in the locker room. He walks by Randall Cobb, and Cobb's doing an interview with a towel over his head a couple weeks ago. Goes, take the towel off your head. He gets after Andrew Corliss for wearing his hat backwards in there before an interview.
Did he?
That's kind of a leadership type of thing. But, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe in general, what I'll say is just covering this team for a few years. When they were 15-1, winning breeds winning. You get a certain confidence, a certain cockiness that you're going to figure it out. You're going to win. You can do no wrong, and that's a good quality to have. But maybe losing breeds losing too, and one loss has kind of led into the other for whatever reason, and they just haven't figured out a way to get a win.
0-4-1 since Rodgers went out in that first quarter of that game. Yeah, they haven't responded to it. The coaching staff, McCarthy, his people, and the other 53 have not done the job.
Well, we'll get into the bigger picture on if this team has any hope down the stretch later on, Bob. But let's get into Josh Sitton's remarks first. On WSSP, before this Lions game, he referred to the Lions defensive line as, quote, scumbags, dirtbags, called Jim Schwartz a expletive. I have a feeling we had the same reaction to it. This is great. He's an honest player, saying how he feels before a rivalry game. You just don't hear this much before a game. Is that kind of what you thought when you heard that too?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people around the league that I talk to, assistant coaches and scouts, they do think that about the Lions. They think the D-line, you know, is trying to maim quarterbacks, if you will. They'll hit low, they'll hit high, they'll do things. That's just kind of the way the group has been. Schwartz doesn't have a real great reputation among his peers. He's considered to be somebody who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And Gunther Cunningham is defensive coordinator. Some of the things, the way he operates, some of his peers and some scouts around the league, they have their doubts about that too. So Sitton certainly is well aware of all this stuff, and he's seen it, and he just went off with Gary Ellerson of WSSP. Now, so how do you see Sitton's remarks at base?
I just think that there's a tendency, especially in 2013, where a player says something that's explosive, that immediately it goes viral. It's in the headlines. It's on TV. It's the lead story on SportsCenter. It's this. It's that. And there's like this urge, this building momentum that player must apologize. And how often do you see this, Bob? A player says something that's, being honest, that says, you know, something that's probably true, like you just laid out. And then they go on Twitter and they apologize. Oh, my words were twisted. I meant this. I meant that. Really, with Greg Jennings, that was what ticked me off more than anything. I mean, he says something. He says how he feels, and then he feels the need to backtrack from everything. Player says something. I respect that player when they stand by their words, even in 2013 when all the forces that be, including maybe the team, wants that player to apologize. Josh Sitton stood there in the locker room after the game and said, I'll take back what I said. I meant it. And I never said they were bad. I never said they're bad football players. They kicked our ass today. So kudos to Josh Sitton for being honest. Yeah. When you don't get honesty as much as reporters, as fans, as readers may like, he was honest about something. He said how he felt. He stood by it. And as he said, they just got their ass handed to him. So
more power to Josh, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, Matt Flynn, how much blame do you put on a guy who just rejoined the team a few weeks ago and can't really gain a first down?
Well, he's been in the league 6 years. Claims to know the offense. Yeah, he gets his share of blame. There's a whole bunch of people deserving blame, but he didn't look very good today, you know. He didn't get the ball out. He was under siege, certainly, but he didn't get the ball out. And whereas Tolzien did get the ball out. They thought Flynn could do some things with his moxie, his resourcefulness, his tough guy stuff. But again, his legs just, he couldn't escape. He didn't have the burst. He's tough. He's tough. He's tough as anybody around, man.
Yeah, he took some shots.
He really did. And it just doesn't seem to faze him.
Yeah.
Man, two of his best completions were just people ripping him frontally after he threw it. Just down he went, and he made these throws. I mean, that's what I've always admired about the player. You know, I used to think his arm was better. In each of his each year in Green Bay, it increased in arm strength, RPMs, but it didn't look good in Oakland. It didn't look good the other day, did it?
I mean, one of the reasons that maybe Mike McCarthy had a little pause on naming him the starter before this game is that, and Tom Silverstein, our colleague, kind of alluded to this in covering it last week when he wrote about the quarterbacks, is in Scott Tolzien, you have a quarterback with a stronger arm who proved he can throw the ball downfield against the Giants, completed all those deep balls. And as great as Matt Flynn was in that Vikings game, rallying them back when things were down, go back and look at some of those throws. I mean, he had the free play where he lollipopped it up to James Jones. I mean, that was one of his longest completions. A lot of checkdowns, Eddie Lacy, a lot of plays underneath. He's, you know, he's sending Xavier Rhodes into last Wednesday with a lower shoulder. I mean, he had the nice throw to Jarrett Boykin, but the arm strength, maybe some of those reasons it hasn't worked out for Matt Flynn at these previous teams, it was there still. And then it was really magnified against Detroit. What really surprised me is that why McCarthy didn't just swallow his ego and stick Scott Tolzien back out there when the game's slipping away and really the season might have been slipping away. There was a close game still into what, early third quarter? Sam mm-hmm. Shields had that interception in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Sam Shields is one of the players that played about as well as you could on Calvin Johnson. Gave up some plays on the slant. Can't do that, but tough assignment, but makes that big play. I thought that might have been a time when they stick Tolzien in and let him try to make a play downfield. Granted, any quarterback back there wouldn't have had much time, but at least with Tolzien, you have a puncher's chance. If you can stick back there for a few seconds, maybe he completes a deep ball on a play action and get back into the game.
And Flynn's arm was in a dome. What's it going to look like Sunday against Atlanta, huh?
Well, that's one thing
if it is Sunday.
Right, we're taping this Monday. We don't know the status of Aaron Rodgers and all of that, but that's, you're right, Bob. I mean, really interesting decision for the Packers. I don't know, you know, reports one way or the other. We don't know what's up with Aaron Rodgers, but obviously the season kind of depends on it. So, well, let's talk about the Falcons a little bit, Bob. I know you haven't done your film breakdown quite yet on the Falcons for the Journal Sentinel, but you saw them play Buffalo?
Yeah, I watched about an hour of it yesterday.
In Toronto, which is a big farce, by the way. What a farce. Taking games up to Toronto. They don't care about the team up there.
How far is Toronto from Buffalo?
It's like a little over an hour, I guess. Maybe an hour and a half of traffic. And they're fair weather fans. And
so they do it. Doesn't Ralph Wilson, the Bills owner, doesn't he want to ask his fans to pay for 10 games? Is that it? Or
well, there's a just huge financial boom by having games played there in Toronto. I mean, it's all financial. I think, and the players themselves say how terrible the atmosphere is. Eric Wood last year at the center was kind of ripped the fans and the whole atmosphere. They never went up there. Wow.
I mean, I would have taken, certainly, I did pick the Bills, but I would have taken the Bills by a lot more if the game would have been in Buffalo. It cost them a victory yesterday, don't you think?
It probably did, yeah.
Bad weather and all did. This?
Yeah.
The Falcons really want to come up from Atlanta and play in 20 degrees? No.
Yeah.
They go inside the Rogers Dome, is that it?
The Rogers Center.
Center.
R-E on Center.
I've been there.
You have?
Yeah, for a Blue Jay game one time, yeah.
Oh, is that right? When it was the Sky Dome.
That's right. There was some action on the outfield one time, right, Ty?
What?
In the hotel out there. Remember that?
Oh, my God. I think I do. Well, let's keep it PG.
All right. Let's go to the Falcons. So just a brief look at them. You know, they got Steven Jackson and they got Roddy White back. You're not playing the Falcons at a great time. They had lost, what, five in a row? And now they got a victory and they got Jackson back and White back. They got some weapons to go with Gonzalez. And Harry Douglas is a good player.
Seems like years ago when the Packer fans really wanted Steven Jackson at running back, doesn't it?
No. Boy, doesn't it? Yeah. So he played pretty well yesterday. Not great.
He did.
But he's okay. Their offensive line is terrible. I could just see that. a whole bunch of sacks and knockdowns. Matt Ryan is healthy, though. So he survived it. The defense, they're not very good. They got problems all up and down the board. So if Green Bay can do anything on offense, they can score a lot of points against this crew.
That's a big if, Bob.
It is. It is a big if. Tolzien can light them up.
Do they go back to okay, well, we can't get into that quite yet. Look at the Falcons. Is there one player on that offense that really does scare you if you're Green Bay in this game?
Gonzalez. He's fantastic. He lines up in that slot flexed out there. You just can't cover him. He's just so big. You know, he can't really run anymore, but he just goes down there and turns around, and Ryan knows where to leverage. He knows what side to throw the ball to. And the guy just got such strong hands. He's almost impossible to cover.
And that's
he's unreal.
That's such a player, such a position the Packers have really missed these last, what, 4 or 5, 6 weeks since JerMichael Finley went down that we haven't really talked a lot about. I mean, a tight end is always a quarterback's best friend, let alone a backup quarterback thrown into the fire like that. And they just haven't had a pass-catching tight end step up.
So Corliss is 17 for 130, 7.6 and 0. Bostic, who's out with a concussion, assume he's back. All right, there's a flash there. 5 for 92, one touchdown.
A lot of drops against the Vikings a couple weeks ago.
That's true. Ryan Taylor's got 4 catches, and Stoneburner can't get off the bench.
Why is that?
I have no clue.
You've been a big Stoneburner guy for a while. Why can't he get on the field and get some opportunities?
Well, one thing, he's not played well in special teams. He's had missed tackles. He's not breaking down. He doesn't look athletic, and so that maybe they feel that carries over to offense.
Does it, though, really? I mean, does it? Two totally different requirements. I mean, running downfield, down a seam, catching a pass, it's a little different than trying to tackle Jeremy Ross.
He showed some blocking nastiness in August.
Yeah.
But since then, we don't know. Catches the ball okay. He runs pretty well.
Right. Plus, he's a Skrillex fan. I mean, how many Skrillex fans do you
Skrillex,
get?
Skrillex, huh?
Do you know what Skrillex is?
No.
It's like hard electro rock pop. You like to run, Bob. You like to go run. Put a little Skrillex on and come back to me. You'll be running down to Oshkosh, Appleton.
We'll report on that next week.
Yes, we will.
Okay. Anything more about the Falcons? Coach Mike Smith, huh? Mike's had a rough year. He's 3-9.
Yeah, complete underachieving kind of team. I know they've had some injuries, but
a lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries.
Ton.
But they not to the quarterback, and that's a guy they paid a lot of money to.
They lost Julio Jones and the running back and a bunch of defensive players. You know, when the Bills, they had that game, Tyler, and they lost 2 fumbles, Stevie Johnson and the tight end Chandler, both lost fumbles in the last, I don't know, 8 minutes.
Coming in the Stevie Johnson trademark.
Fumble?
Just a late game, game-costing mistake.
All right, so
I wonder if he blamed God after this one.
The Falcon players just were rejoicing after each of those 2 fumble recoveries. And I thought, it's a little over the top at the Rogers Center. But when you look at their stat sheet, they've only recovered 2 fumbles all year prior to those 2.
Is that right?
They double their total in, you know, their previous 11-game total. So the Falcons come to Lambeau at 3-9, just playing out the string. They might be loose. They're not as bad as they looked 3 weeks ago.
You know what the crazy thing is? I mean, as bad as the Packers played Thursday, Bob, they're a game and a half out of first place. And I know that you're a guy that doesn't have much confidence in the Detroit Lions. We talked a little bit about that. I kind of like the Lions talent-wise, but is this a team that could collapse down the stretch? I mean, a lot of fans think the season's lost. They want to play for a draft pick, as asinine as that concept is. But they're a game and a half out.
What's the Lions schedule? They're at Philly, right?
Correct. Let's pull it up here.
Let's look at it. Of course they can collapse. They have many, many, many times, and they haven't won a division since 1993. You think that's not weighing there?
Wayne Font's era, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, let's look at all right, at Philadelphia.
There's going to be a dog there? 1-point dog?
Probably.
Okay.
Home against the Ravens, who are playing well.
Ravens are going to be right in it. The Ravens need that thing big time. This is at Detroit.
Did you catch Mike Tomlin's maneuver there? What did you think about that?
Yeah. Boy, terrible. Just awful. Get these people back.
Yeah. Should he be suspended?
I don't know.
Okay. Home against the Giants. They beat the Redskins last night. They're a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team.
They're not bad.
Good team. And then at Minnesota, I watched that game with the Bears. I mean, the Minnesota, they've been playing pretty well lately. They could beat the Lions at home.
Could the Lions lose all four? Yes.
Which is, it's unbelievable. I mean, here we are looking at this Packers team that seems so down and out. Didn't put up much of a fight at all on Thanksgiving Day. Yet the season is far from lost right now.
Could the Packers lose all four? Yes.
They could. They could absolutely. Both teams could win all four, could lose all four. It's still totally up for grabs.
Right. The Bears are 6-6.
Can I get a prediction out of you, Bob?
No. I think I'll pass on that one, Ty. Okay. If you don't mind.
Okay. All right, so what's the key to this game, Bob? If you could point to one thing for Green Bay, what's the key to finally getting a win? 0-4-1 without Aaron Rodgers. How do they somehow get a win here? We obviously don't know the final verdict on Aaron Rodgers right now, so it's really tough to do that. Let's hear it.
Having the fat men erect a stone wall against Mr. Jackson.
Okay.
And then getting after Matt Ryan against that lousy offensive line. Swarming him, Ty. Knocking the man down repeatedly.
All right. Well, let's move on here. Well, we can take some questions on Twitter here from people.
Let's mention the Christmas activities, the holiday. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Sure, the Super Bowl book, the Ultimate Super Bowl book, it's back. We still have boxes, and we're still, Pat and I are still selling. So if somebody wants a personalized copy, send me an email. BeamAgain@JournalSentinel.com or BeamAgain@JRN.com. Either one. We'll take care of you with a fast mail order turnaround.
It's a great book. Just read the chapter on the, which one did I just read? The Bills Redskins is a little lopsided, but that was with Chuck Dickerson kind of spouting off at the mouth for the Bills, the D-line coach.
That was in Minnesota?
Correct, yep.
The Vikes think they're going to get another Super Bowl in their new building. I think they are.
They could.
That'd be great.
All right, well, let's go to some questions here. Okay, this one from Thomas Vanderschaff, our buddy Tommy, he asks, what injury has been the most significant other than Rodgers? He believes that Nick Perry being out has hurt a lot.
I don't have the list in front of me, but I would say Randall Cobb is more than Perry. I guess, would you take Perry or Cobb over Finley, Tyler?
I think so. With Cobb, I mean, you lose a guy who was so dynamic on special teams, too. At this point of the year, you think that he would be making an impact there where they're getting absolutely nothing in special teams. And offensively, he was the player that turned around things against the Lions.
Correct.
With that run. I mean, you could put him anywhere on the field. They absolutely miss Randall Cobb. And I gut feeling, I'd be surprised if we saw him again this year.
Cobb, yeah. How about Bulaga?
Boy, that seems like it was years ago, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Family night scrimmage. You know, the first couple months of the season, it seemed like they didn't miss this guy at all with the way David Bakhtiari was playing. As you wrote about after the game, kind of hit a wall there against Ziggy Ansah, against the Lions. Just in general, you can never have enough offensive linemen, you know? You can never have enough of those guys. You almost have to expect injuries. But this is a team that really relies on youth, and it kind of backfired there with having Marshall Newhouse playing guard, head up on Ndamukong Suh. Not a matchup that you necessarily want if you're the Packers.
Oh, we could talk about Derek Sherrod here for briefly. Six snaps in that final series. They finally put him in there.
What did you see in Derek Sherrod?
I guess they really rolled the dice putting him in at 40-10 with 2 minutes left. Could he have played a little earlier? I think maybe he could have.
Did they just...
I know Marshall's a pretty good guard, Ty, but, you know.
Do they just fear absolute disaster then with Derek Sherrod? And if they do, how much more disastrous can it get than it was there against the Lions and with the Newhouse experiment at guard?
It can't get worse than that, Ty.
It can't.
All right, so Sherrod played six snaps, showed some strength on a down block, on a cutoff block on the weak side. It was pretty good. Then his second last play was pretty bad. Israel Adonijay came into him, and it looked like it was going to be a stunt, a TE, and he just lost his balance, and I don't even think he was hit, and he just ended up on his backside. It was kind of a brutal moment. So, but he got his feet wet, and I would assume we're going to see more of him.
You would think so. At this point of the year, all options really have to be on the table for this team. I mean, you can't go out and sign a guy off the street that's going to save your season, but in-house with options, whether it's at safety, linebacker, offensively, trying to find another playmaker, you have to think it's all on the table, right?
I think we need to see Chris Harper.
Where in the heck has he been?
Inactive lately, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Chris, okay. How about Miles White on kickoffs?
He's a fast guy. He's a burner. He didn't do it a lot in college, but he's got some speed. It could give him an opportunity. It might be time to start experimenting, to try thinking outside of the box a little bit when you're 5-6-1.
How about Victor Iowa at inside backer? The guy's a tough special teams guy. Hmm. I'll tell you that right now.
Who would you bench?
Horse apiece.
This one from Jeff Custer. He asks, based on what you've seen without Rodgers, so he's under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't play another down, could the Packers win another game this year without Rodgers? Could they win another game?
They could win several games without Rodgers. If these people start playing and the coach starts reaching them, they can win several games without him. They should have won several games without him as it is.
Well said. Well said. All right, we got a couple more. Given this one from Jeremy Hogan, he asked, given the strengths of most of Green Bay's defensive linemen, would they be better in a one-gap 3-4, allowing them to penetrate versus eating up blockers in a two-gap? Good question.
Well, those are changes during the offseason. You can't do that now.
Right,
you
know, right.
Right. Do they have any one-gap players? Not really. Rod, you could play that a little bit. Pickett. Really can't. Jolly really can't. Worthy might be a little bit better in that situation. Mike Daniels would be very good. He'd be great in that situation. Dayton Jones would probably be a little bit better. But you just, even if you're in a one-gap system, one of your guys is generally two-gapping the one technique in a one-gap system, and you still got to take on blocks. Mm-hmm. You got to hold people up no matter what you're in.
Isn't that kind of the overlying theme here? Is whatever the scheme is, whatever the X's and O's are, it just comes down to players making plays.
Yeah, winning their matchups. Right.
Okay, Chris Schweitzer. He wants to know if scouts have really talked to you much about the defense, what they're saying about the Packers' collapse on defense.
I haven't had occasion really to talk a whole lot about that.
You're more looking ahead at the opponent.
Yeah, I haven't really done a whole lot of that, so I don't know.
Okay. All right, I think we got one more here. We'll move on. All right, Rob Burris, and I know how much you like these questions, Bob. He asks, what areas of weakness will need to be addressed in the 2014 draft? And with a smiley face, he says, yes, I'm already thinking about the draft.
Tyler, I think that question is tailor-made for you. I really do.
Well, you're not alone, Rob. A lot of people are already looking forward to next year, to this coming offseason. But I'm just going to pump the brakes. I don't think it's time to start talking about the offseason quite yet. We got a lot of time, a lot of podcasts during the offseason, Bob, to get into all of that. I know how much you're looking forward to that. He's pumping his fists right now in the air over his head. Let's just wait on that.
All right. That sounds good.
That sound good to you?
Yeah, we got a quarter of the football season left, Ty. We got a team in the playoff hunt at 5-6-1. So let's play it out, huh, partner?
All right. What has to happen for the Packers to make the playoffs, to win the division and get in?
A collapse by the Lions. They don't know to control their own destiny anymore. Don't you love that? Controlling your own destiny. The Packers do not control it. So they need to win. They've had a 10-day break. The bye was too early. Mm-hmm. That was a key thing. Another excuse.
They have the mini bye here. They're getting healthier. What has to happen? You know, we haven't mentioned the name Eddie Lacy this whole podcast.
No.
And he has to be such a focus in this offense. We assume that the offense would run through him without Aaron Rodgers. In essence, it has, but with teams low in the box, they haven't been able to run the ball at all. 16 yards on 10 carries for Eddie Lacy against the Lions. No push at all from the offensive line in the run game. I think it starts there. Whoever's a quarterback, they have to somehow get the running game back on track. And Eddie Lacy, Rookie of the Year candidate, really, they need to get him going. And he's got a high volume of carries. They don't believe he's hit the rookie wall at all. They think he's fresh. Here's a guy with screws in his hand, toe fusion surgery, but every injury you can imagine, who's been able to stay healthy. Just have to wonder if he's wearing down like those big D-linemen we talked about.
ATL is a team you can get after up here in cold weather with Eddie Lacy, right?
You would think so. You would think so. All right, that's going to do it for today.
Now we get more Fogarty?
A little bit more CCR. Good choice this week, Bob. Good choice.
Anger. Maybe the U.S. number one rock band ever.
Well, that's
got a shot. They're in the conversation.
They're in the conversation. Who else would be in the conversation?
Well, I mean, the other ones, the Beatles and the Stones and all that, that's across the pond. Who would you put in the conversation?
Yeah, I did see CCR in concert, but it was obviously a different singer. They call it CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revisited is their revised name. Yes, it was great. Wow. It was really good. So we'll finish it off. Good choice.
Let's hear John Rip.
Better than the Temptations.
Rip the officials.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.